For it is by the excellence of your our Abba, every psalm that is led by your Ruah on this Shabbat, as we are into the bier of our great King, to offer up oblations in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we do pray that you pour out your anointing in the midst of this bayat. We, as the call and the elect of the great King of Israel, we do gather and prepare our minds by the certain sound of your shofar. For it's by that certain sound you have prepared in the midst of Israel, that we may know the beckoning and the call of our Abba. For the sound radiates throughout HaShemayim unto the realms of the earth, that the true seed of Israel may hear and prepare for the calling of the Most High One, Yahweh. So as you speak unto your people today, as you correct us, instruct us, show us the benefits of your Torah and the power of your Torah, for your katzvei, your scripture, it is the power of your government, because you are governed by every expression you command unto Israel. So we gather this Shabbat in the power of your name, by the deliverance of Yeshua HaMashiach, the living word of Yah made flesh, to break the bondage and the shackles of Israel, that we may know the liberty of our great Creator, for whom Yeshua makes free. We are free indeed to worship you, our Abba. We are free indeed that we may have the power of your benefits, your Jemuah, in our lives. And so we lay claim, in the mighty name of Yeshua, the Lamb of Israel, for the witness of that profound truth on to the elect and the call out remnant of Israel. We lay hold here. We will not deny the blessings of Abba, for you have sustained us on this past 7 days. You have given unto us bread and the daily bread for our lives. You have watched carefully over Israel. You have maintained our path and our way with security and assurance in Yeshua the Lamb. We do pray that you move mightily today, as we bring no burden before you, our Abba, for our sins, as we lie there in the eve of your Shabbat. We could consider all the things we have done, and by the mercies of the Dam of Yeshua, we were able to bring them unto the altar. So we come before you this day, free of the bondage of sin, free to worship you, free to acknowledge you, free to know that the sin atonement of the Dam of Yeshua is sufficient unto Israel. And so we barak you for that, Yah. We have no heavy weights today. We are not bound down by the power of sin in our flesh, because we are free. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We find the great liberality in Yeshua, that we confess our faults and our transgressing of the Torah, yet we find the forgiveness and the assurance in Yeshua, and the burdens are lifted. There is no heavy yoke about our necks. We are not bound like an oxen plowing in the field of sin and iniquity. We are free to raise our voices. We are free to raise our hands. We are free to Torah our upper for your healing power, for your sustaining power, for your keeping power, for your assurance in Yeshua the Lamb. As we gather in Yeshua's name, Israel scattered abroad in these states of America and the Americas and the states throughout the kingdoms of the world. We know that your seed, the life of your living truth, has prevailed against the gates of darkness and hell. You tried to shut the minds or the mind of the elect of Israel. Yeshua has spoken. He has beckoned the house of Israel. And he has called by the power of that sacrifice. For we know without the shedding of the blood there is no remission of sins. His blood, the price paid in full, is sufficient. Hallelujah. When we can offer nothing unto you, we offer the sincere motive of Torah. Thank you, Yah. Torah Yah for Yeshua. Torah Yah for the blood of Yeshua. Torah Yah for the blood of Yeshua. For it is sufficient unto Israel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we pray for Israel that the power of your revelation, the simplicity of truth unto full obedience unto Israel, we understand the Jemur, the benefits of our Abba. We will hear today. We will obey. We do pray that you will quicken or make alive our ears to hear, and to hear what Yah speaks unto Israel, that we may come before you, our Abba, with purity of love, with our hands cleansed from all sin and iniquitous ways. We may offer unto you our precious, the Most High One, the Great Creator, the Mighty One of Israel, the praises and Torah and the gifts and the offerings of oblation of our appreciation unto you. For it is by Emunah, your faith, we can rise in Yeshua. It is by the power of the measure of that faith that we have confidence in the power of your truth revealed, Yeshua the Lamb. So sustain us, and above all, correct us this day. We may walk in the light of your truth with great delight, with rejoicing in the inward parts, that man may know that we are the seed of Israel because of the light of the beauty of Yeshua that shines bright from the remnant in this hour. We ask all things according to your will. We pray not according to our fleshly corrupt desires, but your will be done, Yah. We shall rock you. We shall lift you up this day, this blessed day of Shaphat, the rest of our Abba. In Yeshua the Lamb, we barak you. Israel cried hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Lord Yahweh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We do know this by the revelation of Yeshua. Israel can eat the bread of life. Without that revelation, then the Torah is a hidden mystery unto them, the effectiveness and the power. For he did not come to establish a new book, but to proclaim the power of the principles of the scroll. that was laid down unto Israel by Moshe. He came to give us the power of life and truth, and the strength of that truth, that as we walk in Yah's obedience, He causes us to delight greatly, great rejoicing, with exceeding happiness. And we have brought of Yah, and where our minds and our love think of the top of Yah, He causes us to shout His name with great praise, with great accolades of worship. But we know that if it had not been for Yahweh on our side, we know that He is on our side, because Yahshua is alive, and He's revealed that our love. Then where will we be, Yah? You have not elected, called us, and purposed us for Your will to be done. What direction and path would we be taking? We brought You this Shabbat, for it is Your day, that we may have Shabbat, the rest of our Abba, in the enclosure or the enrapturing of Yahshua HaMashiach. So we will allow the Ruach HaMashiach to lift us up beyond the cauldron of our flesh, to break the strongholds of our own will and our own natural carnal mind. We have the mind of Yahshua, and that mind is to please our Abba in all things. So we pray that You will take delight today in this worship unto You, that we will please You in all things. For we ask all things in the mighty name, the precious name of Yahshua, Lamb of Israel, for we are all baptized in Him. Unto You, Yah, our Abba, and we are one in Haruah. We are Ikat. Israel cried hallelujah. 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 Look to your neighbor and say, may Yah rock your life today. May you believe His Inat, His truth. Shalom. May Yah bless you. You may be seated. For all honor and praises unto our Abba, Yahweh. He is the mighty King of Israel, and taught her unto Yahshua the Lamb, the perfect offering for Israel, that brings about the fullness of His power in the midst, that we may walk in the maturity of our Abba. We have much to Toda Yah for. So we consider the paths that He allows us, even in our own errants, unwillingness and disobedience, that we venture on. And yet we hear the shofar sound of the voice of HaMashiach, as He beckons us to the way that is right and plain, that leads unto the fullness of His life, that we may have the assurance of that in the inward parts. You will know you have the assurance of Almighty Yah, because it caused the love to delight and to rejoice greatly. When there is no rejoicing, when there is no gladness of Yah in us, then we have not come to the fullness of His Imat, His truth. We are walking in a surreal world. It is not the reality of the world of Yah, because these are the fruit that it produces. When a man understands the power of this revelation truth in Yahshua, how simple it is to obey Yah. Just be willing, allowing His Torah to operate in us by the living power of Yahshua. And if we are willing and obedient unto Yah, we shall eat the pleasant tree of the land. We shall eat the tov, the abundance of the land. When we are not eating the abundance of the land, when we're eating this vile stench that we call bread, and it produces nothing but a stench and an odorous odor from us, that we know is not the truth of Almighty God. It is not. When those that are eating the lechem, the bread of Yah, it produces the fullness of His health. It produces the fullness of His blessings. You can sense that in the countenance of one. You can see that flowing from the inward parts of one. You can see that in the light of the eyes of one when they are walking and sustained by the full assurance of the blessings of Yah. We find a generation that is inebriated and that it is drunken to the point it cannot walk straight. It cannot walk in the light of truth. The light shines and he or she stumbles into darkness. The light is revealed. Their minds are so drunken that there is no acuteness or attentiveness unto the things of Yah. They cannot hold their mind or their focus on the gems and the jewels of life. But yet their minds are very easily given over unto a vile table of puke. That is vile, is full of stench, where the maggots and the worms have consumed that. And they brush the maggots aside. They brush the vile, putrefying stench aside. And they began to consume it with great delight. When it comes to the word of Almighty Yahweh, which is the fullness of the whole stale bread, it gives fullness of life. You cannot eat this bread and not have the fullness of life. You don't have the fullness of Yah's Shahim. It's because you're eating from a table that has been placed before you by the powers of hell. And there is no light in the forces of hell. Nothing but darkness. And with darkness in a man's life, he can never produce fruit. There is no fruit or no essence of Yah coming out of him. Darkness, you can never produce fruit. Darkness, the seed will never germinate. Darkness will perform or produce a seed or a seedling that is malnourished or ill-formed. It will not have the strength of growth when it has light. When it has light, the leaves they blossom. And the leaves on the stem, when it has no light, you find a long stem and few leaves. It does not represent the fullness of life. No power of life in it, and the fruit from that will be immature. It will not produce productively. And that is why the lives of the people of Yah, let the light of Yahshua shine upon us. Our lives are not productive. Our lives are not producing what Yah commands our lives to produce. Because we've been given over unto this surreal world, and it is not real. If it was real, then life as we know it would continue. And our minds are not given over unto His truth. And so we love things that are surreal, things that are fictitious. We love dreaming. That's why we can dream before Yah. That's why we hear the profoundness of His truth. We can dream. Our minds fluctuate and vacillate between fleshly corrupt desires. And the things of the Ruah, they really have no essence or no purpose or no value to us. And so we shun them and cast them aside. Don't tell me that that's the maturity of Yah. That will produce a deformed mentality. And you can tell when someone is deformed. I can. You can look at those in the natural realm. And the first place you can see the identity of deformity is in the eyes. You will know that there is no light shining in when you see children that are deformed. You can see something in their eyes or the shape and the form of their eyes. It is all revealed from their eyes. Now we can sit here or be befuddled like ignoramuses, but I've been in the world long enough to know what I can discern by natural expression, one that is deformed. You look at their eyes, you can see how that their eyes, the deformity of their eyes, they do not operate like one that is normal. Their eyes do not have the luster And the gloss, that one that has an enriched life is not the same. You will find their eyes that are highly gloss. You will find this reflection from their eyes that is highly gloss. But you will not find the gloss or the covering that is necessary in this life and in the purpose of Yahweh. And that gloss is the covering of Yahshua, that it will filter out everything that is not of Yah. And when we began to walk in this malformity, we allow everything to irren to the eye. And the reason why, because we're not single of eye, our purpose is not one to please Yah. I say to you all, what I preach, I will live by it. And this, I will die by it. I will make no apology at all when it comes to the truths of Almighty Yahweh. I will live by this, and I'm set to die by it. And that is my purpose. I will not shun this. As Evangelist Horn would sing the song, even though I'm blind, just let me be able to acknowledge Almighty Yahweh. If I cannot say a word, let my mind, let it be sustained by the knowledge of this truth, even though my lips are sealed, whereby I cannot speak. I want that to reverberate out of me. I must live by this, and I'm going to die by it. My life is based on this. There is no other purpose for my life but this, what the book says. What the book says is accurate. It is true. It is what sustains one in every battle. How do you know that, preacher? Is that not presumptuous? No, it's just an actual fact. Because David, in all of his battles, against all of his enemies, Yahweh sustained him. And he brought him through the valleys of the shadows of death. And although his enemies arrayed all about him, they did not overtake him at all. And there is a mindset today that is against Yah. You will know the deformity of that mind because it will produce certain things. We are such an ignorant people. We are the most gullible people upon the face of the earth. We will not declare the truth of Yah. And we are so cowardized that we will not stand in what Yah commands us to stand in. That is a sign of unfaithfulness. That is why he identifies us as adulterers. You're unfaithful. You that are married, wife or husband, who wants an unfaithful and adulterous man or woman? Who wants that? Isn't that the most ultimate shame of reproach upon a marriage? When one does that? Come on here, somebody. You sit here like hypocrites. There is nothing more appalling than a man being unfaithful to his wife. The confidence of her ahava for him, it is muted, it is destroyed. There's nothing more vile and insidious than a wife being unfaithful to her husband man. So he identifies a generation as adulterous, you unfaithful, and also adulteress, that you are a nation and a people of idolatry, false worship. Your worship is not based upon the sincere, pure motive. Your motives are false. The motives are fallacy. They're not sincere. You're trying to gain the fish and the loaves, and you're trying to gorge yourself on the bread of Yah. But there's a stench in the camp. There's a stench in your inward parts. There's a vile odor that comes out. There's a stench that is so vile and so intoxicating that it kills everything in its vicinity. Sure does. It kills relationship, friendships, brotherhood, sisterhood, because of the toxicity of the vileness, of the elements that spew from a corrupt, vile heart. Yisrael must understand their fallacies and their false ways, their errors, that they commit without conscious or thought. without even any kind of conviction, they do it, not realizing there is a consequence that they all must pay. Yahweh is not mocked, my friends. He's not going to allow you to mock Him and say, this is permissible for me, but for you, it is not. Do you know one thing that Yahweh loves? Who knows what He loves? We're not students of Scripture. We don't love Scripture. But there is one thing that He loves. You know what it is? What is it? That befuddles us. We don't even know what He truly loves. It's one thing that Yah loves more than anything. I will tell you. It's in the book. He loves us more than anything. He loves mishpah. He loves judgment. He loves it. He loves judgment. It corrects. It straightens. It disciplines. It puts everything in order. And that is the thing that we hate. I say it again, that is the thing that we hate. But He loves mishpah, judgment. He loves mishpah, judgment. As I said to the brothers of the day, because I was somewhat infuriated, I said, what is the thing that is the most weightiest thing in the assembly today? What is the most weightiest thing that is omitted? One brother said, sin. And immediately I said it again, what is the thing that is omitted? And Yah says it is the most thing that carries the most weight of everything. And then it dawned on him, he said, judgment. Not only judgment, not only the mishpatim, but the mishpat, the justice of Yah. You must do all things with justice, according to His truth. We don't want that today. We want some superficial man standing before us and catering to our little ills and our little false gods of idolatry that we have perpetrated and made in our old damnable minds. So the Torah of Yah, it is abandoned. It is cast far from us. That's why you can lie, and cheat, and do things that are corruptly. You know they're corrupt. You try to save your vile flesh. Yah says, I'm going to burn it in the hell fire of hell. That is the truth. We're not trying to save the Ahava, the beauty of Yah. We try to save this damn trash, this stuff called flesh, which despises Yah. And so the truth of Yah, the immense of Yah, we don't try to save that. We don't defend that. We don't guard it. You will defend your ways, will you not? Sure you will. Even when they're corrupt, you will defend them. Yah, root that. I don't want to have that kind of spirit in me. If you're wrong, confess your fault. Say, I'm wrong. Well, I won't defend my ways. When you rise up against the word of Yah, you're defending something. You're defending something. When you get offended, you get upset. You're defending something. You're not defending the Imat, the truth of Bizorha, the teaching or the message of Yeshua. You're not defending that. And that's why we rise up. Because Yah loves His Mishpat. He loves Mishpatim, judgment. He loves that. And that is one thing that we despise. As a people, as a nation unto Yah, we hate it. With a great passion. We try to coil up and respond in our nuttiality, our stupidity, our childlikeness. I will not cow down for any of you. You can take your nickels and dimes and go to hell. I will not cow down from the word of Yah. We're not going to go sashaying before Him in all of your damnable corrupt garments, the filth and vile, the stench of your adulterous and adulterous attitude, your hands are filthy. You're not going before Yah. That's why your hands are difficult to lift up, because they're not clean. That's why you sit here, you here. You don't listen, you cannot lift your hands up, because your hands are vile and they're full of blood. You have no complication making the sin offering unto your father, the devil. You have no problem with the lying offerings and your lies and your mischievous and malice ways. Hallelujah. I'm sure to stand. Because this is what strengthens me. His word. The word of Yahweh. That's my assurance and that's my strength. Correct me, Yah. How? With his mishpatim. Correct me. Do you ever pray that prayer? Correct me. Correct me how? Judge me. Then why do you despise it? Why do we reject it? Why we have such disdain for it? It's not a palatable flavor in our mouths. Why?
Oh, I know why. Because there's an identity in the midst of the camp. But it's not the sure identity of Yah. I'm going to identify one of the most vile spirits upon the face of the earth. You need to do an introspective research of your own life. And it's one thing about David Roberts, that he is not a coward dice man when it comes to expressing what's in the book. Not when it comes to that. I will not falter. I will not be bemused or amused by your shoddiness of your expression to correct what the book says. I will not. So what you say has no value at all. It is all the value is in the book. The book is of great value. That's where you find the riches, the assurance, the health, the life, the abundance of Yah. Not out of the issues that flow out of your love. You find a stench that is vile, it is corrupt, it is a hatred toward Yah. You find animosity against Yahweh that flows from your issues. Because your issue is not against man. Your issue is that Yah has identified you, and you just don't like being naked. You don't like being uncovered. It's almost like one asleep. The wife says it's time to get up for work. He has the cover over his head. She awakens and pulls the cover all the way back and he gets upset. That has never happened to any of us, huh? Yahweh has your number. He gets pissed off. He's upset because she pulled the cover because she knows it is time for you to get up, man. And instead of him being appreciative, he responds with an attitude. That's what Yah has done. He's pulling back your unrighteous cloak. He's shown us how full of stench we are. He's showing you how vile you are. He's showing you your identity. And so you get upset with Yah because he pulled the cover all the way back. It's alright if she pulled it all the way to the shoulder. But when she pulled it all the way down to your feet like get up, now that is the part that's irritating. And so Yah's pulling it all the way down. The excellence of your speech means nothing. So he's pulling it all the way down to your feet. And it's a cold night too. Now that you don't like. The morning is cold, is brisky, and it's chilly because you did not put wood in the fire. Now we have not stoke the fire up. His word is a fire. So because there's no love for it, there's no appetite, there's no fire churning in us. There's no fire burning in us. There's nothing there at all. No light. You must add fuel to the fire for in order for it to produce the most fervent of heat. And because you don't add fuel to it, you don't have no fervent, burning passion for Yah. You can sit in your little false expression. I don't care what you say. I can't see it. I'm not a jackass of a man. I'm a jackass, but I'm not an ignorant man when it comes to the simplicity of truth that we must understand. I don't need you to tell me what the gardens are doing. I know what they're doing. Just from the elements during the day, I can discern. I have a connection. I know what's needed over there. I know what's out there. Don't have to go every day to see it. And so when I get there and see the plant, we see the blossom, the heads, the fruit, it gives you great delight. You can't look at the mirror and you don't see the blossoming of fruit. That's why there is no delight in the things of Yah. It's only superficial for the moment in the buying of Yah. You get this superficial euphoric, and once you leave, it's all gone. But one has it, you will see the fervent power of that fire. I don't apologize to you either. And I don't care about your feelings either, your emotions. I care about His feelings. I care about the love of Yah, because His love is saddened by people that is full of adulterers and adulteress. I will show you what Scripture says. I want to read something out of the book. You have a diatribe, preacher? Sure I do. Because I have a vendetta against flesh. I have a vendetta against that which despises Yahweh. I will not honor it. I will not uphold it. I will not strengthen that. But I will come against it with the sword of Yah. Well, you cut the brother. I don't care if I cut the brother, his wife, his son, daughter. It makes no difference at all. Well, she's a mother. I don't care if I cut mother, father, a father, whomever. The word of Yah is what does the cutting. You cannot be faithful over the small things of Yah. How can you be faithful over the things of great magnitude? You cannot. A steward in his faithfulness unto Yah. He is the kind of faithful in the small things. And the small things you omit. You want something that is weightier, that you think that it has given some acknowledging of your flesh. Well, I cooked all day. I did this all day. Well, I worked in the garden all day. I did that all day. It means nothing unto you. Steward must be faithful. When a man is faithful, there is no murmuring. He does all things without questioning the lead of Yah. You find an unfaithful man always making excuses. You find an unfaithful woman, she always makes excuses. That's just like a Jezebel or a whoremonger cutting out on his wife, or she's cutting out on him. She says, where you were? Where did you go today? Well, I was over here. I went shopping with Betty Jean. She makes excuses. And she makes excuses why she does that. And he makes excuses. Well, she doesn't show me love at home, so I go out and find someone else. Because I was drunk. Because I was inebriated. You're a liar. You did it because you're foul. You're full of the stench of hell. That's why you did it. You have your father, the devil. There's a false seed in the nation today. There's a false seed among the people of Yah. And it's an odorous, it's a vile stench. Have you awakened and looked at someone and say, boy, your attitude is just, it's vile. Come on, you hypocrites. We have no honesty. You never get up and say your attitude stinks. The times I get up in the morning, I don't even want nothing. Give me a few moments. Then I look back on that occasion and say, boy, you were full of stench. We are such a people of hypocrisy. The reason you never get to the accident of Yah, because you're not honest. Yah hates a liar. A liar is a worker of iniquity. And when we can't speak honestly about ourselves, it's because you hide under your damnable flesh. And you don't like that. It's almost like a man said he's a drunkard. No one is a drunkard to say, I'm not a drunkard. Well, man, when you began to deal with the fact you're a drunkard, you will begin to sober up. It is almost being a man like me being fat or overweight, not dealing with the fact that I'm fat and overweight. You will not deal with that until you deal with it. I'm fat, I look bad, period. You can say what you want to. And we are people that we like to subfuse things. We don't like the fuse, and we don't like for the light up in our face and the light of it to shine. We don't like that. I will not cow down. Why you say that you must be cowing down? No. I say that to remind you. I will not. We'll take our finance and leave. No problem with that. Period. Place is not based upon your nickels and dimes. Based upon truth. Truth. Jah will uphold his truth. Hallelujah. You brothers, always be attentive to things. Be careful to watch what needs attention. That's what's wrong with this generation. You brothers, if you are attentive, then you will see that in the wise. If Adam had been in his place attentive to the things of Yah, he would begin to see a great fervent strength in his wife. Because you are not attentive, then things lack. Well, that's not so. I'll tell you what. Don't mow the grass around your home. Don't fix the leak in the faucet. Don't fix the rotten spot in the floor because your wife can't do it. And watch what happens. I say this often. I worked. And I worked overtime. And I would come home and take everything that needed to be taken care of. My lawn was immaculate. My house. I would get up with Sister Roberts and she would take half of the house and I would take the other half. Even though she didn't work, I did that. You start on that end, I start on this end. Give me the restrooms because I do a better job in there than you. I don't mind sticking my hands down in there and cleaning them. I don't mind getting the piss that is around it. You didn't do it, I did. I don't mind doing that. This vile generation, it is a corrupt one. It doesn't like the correction of Almighty Yahweh. There was no one to correct them at all. And Yah's going to correct his house. You're not Israel. You will not last. No problem with that. And I have no problem with it. But Yahweh must constantly purge us. Purge us. And so when you men are attentive to everything, how you look, how you carry yourself, how you walk, you will see that, you will begin to see that trickulate to the daughters of Zion. You cannot have a strong body without strong men. And a man must be attentive to everything. You cannot be a lazy jackass and have the strength of a man. Scripture calls that it is a maliciousness and it is the effeminacy of a man that loves to be lazy. I don't care whether the brothers or the sisters like it. That's what it is. It is the true analogy of a mischievous man, one that is effeminate with laziness. Doesn't press beyond the laziness of his own mind, his own will. Sorry, man. You wonder why the daughters are sorry? Because you're sorry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When a man shows the strength and maturity of Yah in his house, was Hamashiach a man? Was he a man? Did he not show the truth and the strength of his Abba? Did he not? Did he not say that Yah will raise up an assembly, a tabernacle, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? Did hell prevail against Yahshua? It did not. And so if I will not allow the hellishness of this wicked world to prevail against him, then his whole house will be guarded. Yahushua said, as far as me and my house, we're going to obey Yah. We're going to serve Yahweh. We're going to walk in the disciplines of Almighty Yah. Hallelujah. And because you don't have the strength of the man, because he's the head of the woman, Yah is the head of Yahshua, the head of man, do you find this effeminate thing today? He has been not masculated, but emasculated. He doesn't possess the masculinity and the power of a man. Everything I do with tenacity. I don't care what it is, I do it with tenaciousness. Are you supposed to know I'm letting you know? I do everything with tenaciousness. I don't care what it is, whether it's my valiant sword against weeds in the gardens or picking up the corn. I don't do with the shallowness. There's a purpose there. I do with great delight. So I don't do anything without tenacity. I'm a tenacious man. You boasting? No. I boast in Hamashiach. Was he not tenacious? He said to Shaphan, get behind me, you child of hell. You don't say with the things of Yah. He said to Kephar, come on, you don't even say with the things of Yah. You don't save for them. Hallelujah. You don't savor the things of Yah. We must savor the things of Yah. They must be a sweet taste in our mouths. Hallelujah. It must fill our bellies to the full. That's why there are no men today. You can't find them. The world, what they call a man, is not even a man. That's the truth. You can hardly find them at all. The strength of a man is a character that even all men, what we call men, when they see it, they will know. I'm not the butt here, I'm the head. You can be the butt all you want to. I'm the head. Hallelujah. Because I know who my head is. He is my head. So I'm not the butt. Alright? I'm not the butt. That's why they're naked today, because they're the butts. Nothing but butt. They want everyone to see their butt. Do they not? I want you to understand what's in my head. Yeshua. That's why women, they want to show their butt, don't they? They like to show their butt. See what you want to. Their butt. Women look at a man, they look at their butt. This is a hypocritical generation. It is vile. It is so wicked. No sincerity at all. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach. It makes no difference. You're not going to get this fire kindled and stoked with some kind of fancy-assy message. You're not. The dross must be burned out in order for your dross to come to the top. It must be burned. When the brothers, over the past years when we cooked sugar cane, you can't just have a little kindling fire. It has to, you have to stoke it up. And the more you stoke it, the more dross. What you have in molasses and syrup, you have some dross still left. When it becomes pure, it will produce the purest of sugars with such sweetness that you couldn't even eat it. When everything is taken out, all the impurities, and it will begin to crystallize. That's what will happen. So there's still somewhat filth in molasses and syrup and all of that, because it still has some dirt, some dross in it. Something that's filthy. With the molecules and no filters in there, you will see the crystallizing of pure sugar. It'll become hardened, whereby the fire doesn't even affect it anymore. It has formed this pure state. We get to the point where our minds are pure, our desires are pure, that the fire of this living truth, it doesn't affect us. It causes us to be enraptured. We're lifted up when we hear the truth. We are emboldened by Yah. It's a generation that possesses none of that. And scripture says, I want to begin here somewhere in Matthias and Matthews. I want to read this because it's very, very important. In the 13th chapter, in verse 36. And it repented Yah that he had made man. He was sorrowful. It repented Yah that he had made man and placed in him a gem. Jewels that could not be purchased by the filthy lucre of men. It caused his love to be grieved that he made something that is so despicable, so vile, so inconsiderate, an uncourteous thing, an unappreciative thing is what man is. We don't appreciate the healing power of Yah. But we will let some quack or someone, and we will speak wonderful accolades unto them. We will follow their letters to the T. The doctor says, get that prescription, get that one, get this one, get that one. And we will not even flutter at doing what they say. Yah says unto us, confess your faults and your sins. Get the elders. Tell them your sins. That even if I take you, your conscience is clear. And that they may pray for you fervently. And that you may be healed. We don't believe that, do we? We are hypocrites. We believe in those that have power to prescribe unto us, not the way of Yah. The Torah tells us how to maintain the healthy life of Yah. We don't believe that. That's why I warn us often this trash that you go out and eat, they find pork oil and all of that trash. You all don't hear me. And we wonder why our health and our inability, we have no endurance. You can't wait to get some fried Bojangles. That's wickedness. And the reason I say that, because they fry pork chops and all of that. I go to this little store down here, what the Indians own. Now, they will not eat that, what they sell the people. Did you say, yes, my brother? They won't even eat that, what they fry. Pork chops, pork sausages, and all of that. They fry the chicken in the same pork fat. And we'll go out here and consume this trash. You wonder why the young ones are not energetic? You wonder why you elderly ones have no life? You wonder why, as we see the ingredients and the filth of things coming into this nation, as I've been reading what's coming from Mexico and China, the cantaloupes, the fruits, they are full of death. And because of our lust, we don't have a desire for Yah. We are greedy. We are sumptuously greedy. We don't care for the things of Yah. Believe me, my brothers and sisters, this path, I have nothing to preach this morning but the word of Yah. I have no set order. You understand? I will correct the people of Yahweh. Brother writes me from, send $100 in all $20 bills. Writes me from a little hillbilly town there in West Virginia. And says, Brak you, Pastor Roberts, for showing Yisrael the error, because we must know our errors. And we don't like to know our errors. Oh, you're quite aware with great observation of others' errors, are you not? You can name them, can you not? When it comes to you name yours, you find it difficult to find what's wrong with you. Then you don't have the Ruah of Yah. You do not have Ruah HaKodash. Because the HaKodosh of Yah shows us the errors constantly. You took a bath this morning. You can sense now, I feel the putrefyingness of my body already. I can feel it from under my arms. I can feel it here. I can feel it in my breath. The stench of the odor that is vile. The natural sense or stench begins to come out. So it is with us in our daily walk. We are a people that it doesn't take much to get us dirty. We get filthy quite fast. That's why we must be washed, the dam, the blood, Yahshua continuously. And I pour out unto you the blood of HaMashiach for this purpose. Was his dam shed, that the power of this truth may correct us, that the hope of the tikvah of the resurrection will be a lively thing in us, that we will know, although we may lead this realm, there is something that is greater that Yah has laid down for Israel, that I shall rise again. So I will not cut corners. You cannot make a wonderful pound cake by cutting corners. You got to put the ingredients in there. Well, I can do without that, but you know what's going to happen because you've done that before. I tell you, I must put a pound of butter in this one. What use? Half a pound. Well, when you began to skimp, it doesn't produce the flavor. It doesn't produce the aroma. So we skimp on Yah, you think it produces the aroma? But you're a liar and a false one. When you're superficial, you think it produces the right flavor? It produces the wrong aroma. And Yah says that there's a seed in the world today. There's a people. Yah sure says it here. I want to read this in Matthew 13. We'll read a few verses in verse 36. Then said Yahshua, then Yahshua sent the multitude away. And he went into the bayat, the bayat of Yah, with his talmidim, his disciples, came to him, and they asked him a question. They said to Yahshua, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he said that the tav, the tzedekah, the righteous zirah, or the seed, is the Ben Adam, or the Son of Man. He said, I am the Tav Zirah, the seed of Almighty Yah. I am. that there is nothing that is vile comes out of the tough seed. Now there is a seed that is in us, but it's not the tough seed. They want to understand the parable of the tare. Why would you speak this kind of parable unto us? He spoke unto them because he knew what was in them, like he knows what's in us. He understands what the powers of hell have done to sow this corrupt seed, and he has done a magnificent job sowing it among the people of Israel in our minds. That's why we're full of such sedition and wickedness. We don't even have the practice to do wicked. Our conscience is so seared, we can do wicked, we can do things that are offensive, we can do things that deny the truth, and we have no conscience of it at all. Something is wrong. Anytime you try to maintain the covering of your flesh, you are a wicked man or woman. Anytime you justify anything you do, you are wicked. Yah is our justifier. He justifies us. Even in the midst of all of our wrong, he still justifies Israel because he has called and elected them. But we are people that's bent on justifying ourselves. Declare unto us the parable, the teaching of the tares. What is it for? How will that serve us? HaMashiach says that you notice in verse 38, he says the field. Now the field where it's planted is the Olam Hazah, or the world. That is what it is. Not among the people of Yah. He says it is the world. It is the expanse of the world. That's where the tare is sown. He said, and the Tav Zerah, or the Tav seed, are the children of the kingdom. Bottom line. We must be able to identify the tares and the corrupt seed. Scripture must point to how we can identify them. And if we cannot identify them, then woe unto us. We are a people that have no spiritual insight. He tells us that the tav seed, the tav zirah, are the children of the kingdom. Meleshim, of the kingdom of Yah. Is that what it says? It says that he tells us that the tares have been sown by one. It is not of Yah. He tells us where the tare is sown, or the tares are sown. Does he not tell us? He tells us. And he says, now those that are of the tough seed, they are the children elected of the kingdom of Almighty Yahweh. He says, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Now that is settled. That is settled. We must find out the characteristics of tares, how they bring this poisonous odor and this stench into the valley of Israel. He said, the tares are what? Children. The tares are children. The tares are children. But the tares are the children, are the ones birth, the ones that brought forth of the wicked one. That is what the tares are. They are the children of the wicked one. And you will know whether you are wicked. You will know whether you have that tare seed in you. Yah's not sparing you at all today. He's trying to awaken you that there may be true repentance. He identifies the tares. They are the children of the wicked one. Well, how do I know? What is the sign of the ones that are the children of the wicked ones? And the children of the Zira of Yeshua, how shall we know? How can we know? He says something in the next verse that is so profound. He says, the enemy, those that are against the discipline of Torah, the teachings of Yah, those that reject the power of the truth of Yeshua, the enemy that sowed them is Shaitan, It is the devil that has sown the zira of the seed, the tares, in the midst of the world. And the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the heavenly Melechim. He said, I want you to understand. It looks as though that it has the attributes of wheat. It looks as though that it is a son of Yah. But they are truly of the same nature of the one that has sown the seed or the spirit in them. First of all, they are enemies. They are the enemy of Almighty Yah. They are the enemies of Torah truth. That's why there are us that can lie without batting our eyes. And Shaitan is the father of all lies. When one practice lies and mischievous corruption, that is a vile individual. I don't care if it's your son, your daughter. I don't care who it is. And the world, all it does is practice lies, doesn't it? It teaches you lies from the television as the world turns. Price is right. It teaches you lies and corruption. And the reason you are affected or consumed by that because you're full of the seed of the enemy of Almighty Yahweh. He says that the enemy of Yah, he has gone forth and he has sown a seed. And you will know that they are the wicked ones of Almighty. They are the wicked ones. They are against Yah. You will know because there is no drawing to truth or Torah. They have no propensity, no driven desire to hear what Yah says. Yah says, for us to understand this, because it is vital for Israel to understand the very hand of Yah. Yah is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. He is not slack. You may be slack. But Yah is not slack. He is faithful. And if we think that Yah is not going to fulfill every word, then we are fools, deceived beyond deception. He said there's a massive movement of hell. And these children, this mindset has derived from this wicked passion that permeates in the world. You know, most of your passions today are built upon the defyings of Torah. Our lust, our greed, our sumptuous ways. All of our thoughts are based on something that is against Yahweh. Our rebelliousness, our hardness, the hard-headedness. It's not based upon what Yah teaches us. How can one, it's almost, we do this in a natural analogy. I don't even see how we that say we are the children of Yah, how do we lie in the bosom of our Abba when our lives are not committed unto Him? It is almost like a wife, her countenance is hard. The husband, he cannot be touched by the beauty of his wife. He's hard and he's callous. How do they even come together and have a friendship or relationship? You see, that's why you can't have no relationship with Yah. I would not want a wife that never smiles in her expression that it is so muted. I wouldn't want that. I don't believe that my wife would want a husband that had no expression of ecstasy at all. Come on, something is wrong. Something is thwarted in the mind there. I do not want to have some spontaneity. I want to have that with my wife, some spontaneity. Something is wrong. When there is no excitement, a spontaneity with Yah with us. What he says doesn't cause our laughter to leap with joy and the expression of gladness. And the laughter of the wonderfulness of Almighty Yah overtake us. I'm not talking about the laughter falling foolishness. I'm not talking about that kind of stupidity. But because we're so cold toward Him, we're cold because He tells us and He instructs us. We're cold because as a seed, that this odor comes out of us because of the seed that is in us. It has been some other powers of hell, and that's why your anger rises up, and your venomous pores and rise up in your mind, and your body, it pours in you, and you can't respond to Yah. You can't change your expression, you can't change your mind, you can't change your heart, because it is poisonous. It's one thing that venomous viper does. You know what it does when it bites? It excretes poison, right? And those that are very poisonous, like the ass or the black mongol, immediately it paralyzes the body. Paralyzes it. Whereby the flow of the heart, the blood flow, is affected. It's affected. And the next thing, the most valuable organ in man, the kidney, began to lose its function. The most valuable organ you got is your kidney. That's it. It does 500 functions every day in the body. The heart just pumps blood. A boom, a boom, a boom, a boom, a boom, a boom, a boom. That's all it does. The kidney. And all of a sudden the kidney began, even though the kidney began to be affected, the heart still pumps, does it? And it begins to affect every part of the body. Does it not? You can't think right. You can't function right. And that is this poisonous odor of the tear, of the seed or the spirit, the zira that's in you, that it began to paralyze you. So when we hear the things of Yahweh, we look at that and we just become staunch. I'm not going to do it. We become staunch in our ways. We become hardened. I don't care what he says. I don't care what she says. It's not for me. I know it's not for you. HaMashiach is the zira, the seed of life, isn't he? And those that are of the kingdom, the Ben Adam, that seed is sown among those that are in the kingdom. It's not sown among the world. I don't care what you want to think. It's not. And that seed of the enemy, that zira of Shaitan, that wicked seed that has been sown to identify the children of hell. And you will know, because there's a certain manifestation, there's certain things that come out of there. And I'm going to identify some of them. And if you find yourself here, you will know that you're not a friend of Yah, but you're an enemy of Almighty Yahweh. You know, first of all, he is the enemy of Almighty Yahweh. And if he's an enemy of Yah, he's going to have his children to be enemies of the word of truth and the light of Yahshua HaMashiach. And when you defy what Yah says, you know that this is the truth. You defy it, you're an enemy. You can't defy what he says. Do it with open knowledge. You see, there was a time he winked at our ignorance. You didn't know. We didn't know. But now he calls us to repent. That he has been so kind and merciful unto you. So he beckons us all to repent. Change. Stop that. I've been kind to you. I've shown you things. I've revealed unto you. Now I want you to repent. I want you to have teshuvah, repent. It is not just saying I'm sorry. It is a mourning. It is something that is sincere, that you will never allow your guards to be let down again. I don't care, as the old Kid Ocean would say, come hell or high waters. I don't care who is for you. You will never allow your guards to be let down, to you be drawn under the powers of the wicked one, that he may sow the zero of darkness in us. We become enemies of Yah. We don't realize what kind of enemy combatants we are against Yah. What is a combatant? You know what a combatant is? You've never been a combatant, have you? You've never been a combatant. A combatant is one that fights. And we have fought against Yah. We fight in our minds. We fight in our little childlike emotions. Our immaturity. Well, I know you said that, preacher, but I want to correct you. No, sir, my friend. What I preach to you is the simplicity of truth that deals with your vile, evil ways. You will not correct me on that. I will not allow you. And if I preach to you end time or revelation of the beast kingdom, we are such an ignorant people where you can't understand the small things. How are you going to understand that? Most folks have read books and got the opinion of other men. No, I don't need to read books. I'm led by the Ruah. That is my assurance that I am a son of Yah. And if a brother speak a word of Yah to me, I know that it is the power of the light of the truth of Yahshua. I don't reject that. I don't care whether it's my wife or anyone. It is time to be corrected. We're in a time whereby we better be corrected. Because if we're not corrected, we're not disciplined people. Hallelujah. When you go into the military, do they change everything about you? You that's been in there, I've been there. They change the way you walk. You may go in there walking like that, but it's not long you're walking straight up. I don't care whether you're in the airport or wherever you are, you know the walk is the same. You know another soldier because you know the walk is the same. And it almost gave you some kind of pride in that walk back then. Yes, you did. You had pride. You walked through the airport. You knew you weren't walking all bent over and slouched back and hunched down. You knew your back was straight, your head erect, and you walked that way because you were a soldier. Sure you did. Soldiers see another soldier in the airport, he knew he was a soldier. I don't care whether it was a Marine, Navy, whatever. He knew what it was because we all walk the same. Come on. And the higher, the branches of the military whereby, you know, where they had more physical attributes that were necessary, you took a little greater delight in that. You saw a Marine in the airport when you were in the Army, you knew he had the space over you. Yes, you did. Because this training was a little more complex. When you saw someone from the Air Force or the Navy, you knew you had them when you're in the Army. Because you knew their training was not like yours. You knew that. It was more of a greater discipline. The requirements were greater. Sure was. And so you walk when you saw a guy in his Navy suit looking nice and sharp. You were in the Army, you knew you were tough. But when you saw the Marine, everything tailored down and sharper. All of their suits. I've never seen a Marine whereby the suit was not tailored down, fitting to the T. And the wife said, that's right back there. It is right. Always tailored. You in the Army, you look at your stuff, you say, it's not like his. Not tailored like his. Now we ought to be able to look at HaMashiach and see the tailoredness of his garment, that garment of Sadiqah, of righteousness, and say, mine is not tailored like his. And when you will see that Marine, you will lift your shoulders up a little better. Come on, yes you did. I know I did. You will make sure you were sharp. You will look out at your shoes and make sure they were sharp. His shoes were glass. They would cheat on the Army because they would get their suits tailored. They would have to buy their dress blues. Well, the Army just gave us ours. And so if it fit, it fit. So you tried to get something close enough to fit it. Marines, they would get their tailored down to their waist. Their waist would be accented. And they would have the belt on, and they knew they were soldiers. This is an unpolished group today. They're not soldiers. We're not soldiers. We're misfits. We're not true soldiers. If we want to see the example of a true soldier and the power of a warrior, let's go back to Uriah. He was faithful unto his Melechim, his king. He was obedient. He didn't rise up. So this one that calls themselves the fruit of the enemy, we know that the enemy has sown them, and they are of the devil. And he says that the heavenly Melechim will come and reap. It's going to take out the tares. Must do that first. You have to. And the harvest of the Arabic nations of Palestine, Israel, you have to send people that were mature enough to go out to understand what tares were. And they had to go out and eradicate the tares first before the harvest. Because they did not want that toxicity and the poisonous things in the tare to be grinded up with the bread and cause someone to die. So they didn't send children. They had to be men of strong strength and women of Zion that knew what to look for. Today's daughters of Zion don't look for anything. They have no careful inspection of their lives. And that's why we're cowardly when it comes to little hard-headed young sisters to reprove them and tell them their vile and evil ways. We're careful not to speak to them because they get upset. Let them go to hell. I don't care how upset they get. They're not going to the kingdom. That's the spirit of hell in them. And so we're turned away because we're afraid what they're going to say. Not me. Bring it to me. I will handle it. It's one thing that a fool will never hear. Fool will never hear. Only one that is wise. A fool, they blot it out. They don't want to hear. That's why they're fools. How do you know in school fools don't hear? When they see how dumb they are, they get upset because she's smarter than she is. That's the truth. And so instead of hearing what the teacher says, that they can work in the equivalence of that when they become dumb and stupid because they get upset because this one is smarter than them. You talk to a jackass of a fool, they will never hear. They will never. Only someone that is wise will hear, and they always become wiser. You speak to someone that's wise, they say, thank you. And they become wiser. Or they may fall in error again, but they always say thank you. But a fool, they will never hear. They go back to the foolish entrapments all the time. Same immature, stupid ways. Yah says that they're the seed of the enemy. And they're my enemy. I don't want to be the enemy of Yah. When one has enmity against Yah, listen, brothers and sisters, it is a reciprocal hatred that is mutual. He says, I hate you as much, and your hatred doesn't even come to the magnitude of mine. That's what enmity is. Enmity. It is a reciprocal hatred. And these fools tell you Yah doesn't hate. They're liars. He hates. I want to read this here in Yaakov, James 4 and 4. If it is a lie, then throw the book out, okay? If it is the truth, you better hear. He's talking to Yisrael, Yaakov, James 4 and 4. I will read it carefully. He identifies us, the house of Yisrael, and that is who Yaakov wrote to the 12 tribes scattered abroad in this Goyim, this heathen generation. He calls us first, you adulterous. Is that what it says? He says, you're unfaithful to Yah. You have no faithfulness. And you adulterous. He said, you're full of idolatry. Is that what it says? It's simple to understand, isn't it? Well, we don't understand because we don't take time to know what Yah is speaking to us. He identifies us not only as an unfaithful one, we're full of idolatry. And he says, no, understand, know you not that the friendship, the love, the fellowship, the laughter, the foolishness, the friendship of the world is enmity with Yahweh. He said, you don't know that. Quiet, huh? He said, you don't understand that. Whosoever therefore would be a friend of those that are worldly or the world, he says, you are an enemy of Yahweh. Is that a lie? Is that the truth? Is that the truth? Whosoever is a friend of the world. Well, I have a special relationship with my son and my daughter. That's my mother. He said, whosoever loves this old lamb, that they get great excitement among the wicked. He said, you are an enemy against Yah. And we know that the enemies of Yah, they are the tares of Yah. And when you find one who calls himself brother or sister, that they have this great affinity for the world and those of the world, then he says, that friendship, we know that you're an enemy of Yah. This is how you're identified. This is how you are identified. He did not say, do you understand? He said, no. That you have a knowledge, you have a revelation. Don't you know that to be a friend, to have your association, your delighting is in the world, the worldly things, and those that have turned against Yah, your mama, your daddy, your sons, your daughters, you don't know that to have that kind of relationship, you and my enemy, that's enmity, you have a mutual hatred for me. He said, don't you know you hate me? Don't you know you hate Yah? Don't you know that Yahweh says, you hate me that way, I hate you the same way? This is in the book. You can reject it all you want to. The reason we get quiet like this is because this is the mode of operandum of the people that say they love Yah. See, Yah is showing you who you are. He's stripping you, making you naked, and you just don't like it. And because you have enmity against him, well, I don't believe it says like that, then tell me what it means then. Tell me. Will you practice the same thing the world practices and your order is just like the world? Tell me what it means then. Tell me. Tell me. Tell me.